Heavenly Father, may now the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
During the sermons of recent weeks, we've been looking at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at Jesus's prediction, first about the invasion of Judah and the destruction of the temple, which we know took place in AD 70, and then about his return, his second coming, which will be in great glory. We thought about the abilities and talents we had received from the Lord and how we have used them particularly for his kingdom, and especially about the account that we shall have to give of them. We learnt that when we give the simplest service to the sick, the outcast, the needy, we're giving that ministry of loving care to Jesus himself. And we remember Jesus' teaching about the sheep and the goats and their eventual separate destinies. We heard about signs of the end of the age, but noted that nobody knows the day or the hour when Jesus will return, a time known only to the Father. And all those things were in Matthew's Gospel. Now, before we plunge into the wonderful celebrations of Christmas, we turn to Mark's Gospel with an extra emphasis on being alert, on being watchful for the coming King. Much of the subject matter from Matthew, that which we've been consulting and considering, is confirmed here in Mark. For example, the parable of the fig tree is a warning of the imminent destruction of the temple. And Jesus speaks of that event: this generation will not pass away until all things have happened. However, now in Mark, we find a particular emphasis. All that we've been thinking about in these sermons must remind us of our call to be alert and to be watchful. In verse 28, once again we have the assurance that no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus will return. Therefore, we're to be on guard. And what does be on guard mean to us today? It will certainly mean that we need to understand the times in which we live. Times when human societies and institutions set themselves up against the gospel and gospel standards. For evidence, we have financial corruption and poor moral standards in all levels of society. A society and a world that produces arrogant and dehumanizing structures, deep injustice and radical oppression. Surely this is once more a time when prophets are needed to denounce and to warn, for God's people to stand up for righteousness and truth. We look for this, we look towards our church leaders. If we are to be faithful followers of Jesus, then we should not compromise with the standards and fashions of today, but to keep awake and aware of the way our society is heading. As Christians, we're called to be salt and light in our society. Salt preserving and avoiding decay. Light shining in the darkness and revealing things as they really are. about ourselves, about the community in which we live. We, God's people, are to live in the expectation of Jesus' return. And this will mean that we must not be ashamed of what we're doing, or saying, or thinking in that moment when Jesus does return, that moment which will be without warning, like a thief in the night. 40 years in the Scout movement ensured that the words "be prepared" were engraved on my mind, if you can stand the thought of all those bare knees. But life, of course, has the habit of catching us on the hop. Take, for example, God's coming into the world in Jesus the first time. For hundreds of years, the people of Israel looked forward for his coming. Yet when the moment arrived, they failed to see it. Well, when Jesus comes again in glory to judge the world, there will be no opportunity to not see it, to ignore it. For every eye will see, and every knee will bow. That is the principle that should be at work here. While not knowing the day or the hour of Jesus' return, yet ready for it, prepared. From my long ago years in the Young People's Fellowship, there's a hymn that comes to mind straight away. There's a light upon the mountains, and the day is at the spring when our eyes shall see the beauty and the glory of the King. Weary was our heart with waiting, and the night watch seemed so long, but his triumph day is breaking, and we hail it with a song. And then Paul, writing to Thessalonians, says, "Now about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come to them suddenly, as labor pains to a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and take hope as our salvation helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And at the end of our gospel passage, Jesus tells another parable. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, with each servant in charge with his assigned task, and tells the one at the gate to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, says Jesus, I say to everyone, watch. Amen.